I'm an extrovert, so I love the turn and greet. And all the introverts on our staff are like, we tolerate the turn and greet, so don't let it go on too long. So I'm cutting you off, even though it'd be fun to go 5 or 10 more minutes and just catch up, wouldn't it? Let's be honest. For some of us. Anyway, my name is Dave, if we haven't met. And this morning, we are continuing a series that we have been and will be in all summer through the Ten Commandments. We're calling it Jesus and the Ten Commandments. And we're calling it Jesus and the Ten Commandments because we're trying to get a view of these Ten Commandments, not just as rules, but as a pathway towards freedom with God, towards freedom in Christ. We remember that God gave the commandments to his people right after he delivered them from slavery. He delivers them from slavery in Egypt. And then the message is, here are some commandments to help you and empower you live in the freedom that you've already been given. Actually, it's the freedom that we were created for, the freedom of living with God in our lives. And so that's what our commandments are about. Today, we're talking about commandment number 3. This is, by the way, a great chance to learn the Ten Commandments because most of us are like, oh yeah, the Ten Commandments, I believe in those. And you're like, what are they? And you're like, something about murder and adultery, I think, right? That's what, yeah. So we're on number 3 today, Exodus chapter 20, verse 7. Let's read it out loud together, if you would. Here we go. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Today we're talking about the name of the Lord. And as I begin, I want us to together consider the importance and significance of names. Because a name is a big deal, isn't it? Your name is a big deal. Research has shown that the sound of your name is one of the sweetest sounds to your mind. Like your brain loves the sound of your name. That makes you sound a little bit narcissistic, doesn't it? We're all a little bit that way. We're created that way. Here's what Dr. Anna Gallagher says. Hearing your name is literally causing a chemical reaction inside your brain. Feel-good hormones such as dopamine and serotonin are released into your brain when your ears encode that your name has just been said aloud. This burst of excitement makes people happy and sends unconscious signals such as empathy, trust, and compassion to the unconscious brain. Your name matters. Your name means something to you. And in a sense, our names define us, don't they? This is why parents spend hours considering and reconsidering the names of their children. Some people in this room are in the process of doing that right now, right? What name should we choose? Do we like it? How should we spell it? Who else do we know with it? What does it rhyme with? An all-important question for those middle school years. When Amy and I were naming our kids, and specifically our second child, we wanted a name that was unique, but simple. My name is David. My wife's name is Amy. David, the year I was born, was the number one name on the list for boys. Amy, when she was born, was the number one name on the list for girls. We both grew up with like 7 other kids in our class with the same name. I was never just Dave. I was always Dave T, right? Like there's Dave L and Dave R and Dave B. They're all in my class, right? So our thinking was we wanted something a little more unique. We love our names. We're not insulting you parents if you're listening online. We love them. But we wanted something a little more unique. We were also thinking this. Our son is going to be the pastor's kid. And that comes with some pressure. And so we don't really need him to be named Ezekiel or Obadiah or Zebedee to just add to that weight, right? There's enough pressure being the pastor's son already, so we'll stay away from that. But we also have a pretty tough last name to pronounce. This is our last name right here. It's pronounced Teixeira or Teixeira, right? Teixeira. And so we needed the first name to be easy to say because the last name was difficult. I also personally thought it would be really cool if his name had an X in it, since our last name had an X in it. That's how deep I am, right? So we decided to name him Dax. Actually, his official name is Daxton, but we knew from the very beginning we'd just call him Dax. And then he was born, and we started introducing him. Now, I do have to tell you that it didn't help our case that the very first week he was born, We weren't in church that week, but they put it up on the screen. This is down in California. They put it up on the screen, a picture of our new baby boy, big announcement. Pastor Dave and Amy's new son, Dexter. So everyone was confused right away. But then, in the first like few months of his life, this is how introducing our son would go. Oh, new baby boy, he's so cute. What's his name? Dax. Max? Dax. Jax? Dax. Brax? Dax. Dexter? We were like, why is this so hard? What have we done? D-A-X. We almost changed it. 2 weeks in, I literally went to my wife and said, we have to change this name. It's not too late. Like, he's going to be in therapy. What have we done to our son? A life of frustration. But then people started catching on, and now he's Dax. Anyway, why was this so frustrating? Because our names matter. Your name represents you. This is why you sign your name to a check. It's a way of saying, I approve this money be taken out of my account. My name stands for me. This is why when people are looking for you to support a petition, they come to your door, or they grab you on the street to sign your name. This is why when you vote or use a credit card, a signature is required because your name means something. Your name says, I endorse this. I agree. I am in alignment. How many of you have seen the new movie out on Amazon Prime with Matt Damon and Viola Davis called Air? Have you seen this? I liked it. I'll recommend it. I don't like to recommend movies from the front because there's always like a bad word and then they're like, what? How did the pastor recommend it? But it was a pretty good movie. Kind of a hometown movie for us here in Beaverton, right? A little bit. But it's the story of Michael Jordan putting his name on a shoe, saying, I endorse this product. I'm behind this product. I am for this sneaker. Friends, this is also why when we pray, we do so in Jesus' name. John chapter 14, this is Jesus speaking to his disciples, his followers, us as well. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Now, sometimes we treat this statement like a magic formula. We pray, we ask for whatever we want, and then we tack on the little phrase at the end, in Jesus' name, as if these words have some sort of spiritual power, like now God is a genie and he will give me my third wish. But what does Jesus mean when he says this? He means when you ask for things that I want, when you agree with me, this is Jesus talking, when you agree with me, when you talk about things that I endorse, that I would put, when you ask for things that I would put my name on, then I will empower them. So when we pray in Jesus' name, it's a way of saying, God, if you would sign your name to this prayer, then may it be so. It's another way of saying, God, thy will be done, not my will be done. So let's get back to commandment number 3. I'll read it again for us. This time I'm going to read it in the King James Version and see if you can fill in the blank. Here we go. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. You all knew it, right? Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. If you grew up in church, this is most likely the way you remember this command. Don't take the Lord's name in vain. And so the question is, what does that word mean? Vain. Well, it's actually a little Hebrew word, shav. It means this, of little worth in value or significance. It means light in terms of force or impact or effect. Don't make the Lord's name worthless or valueless or insignificant or light or of less force and importance than it should have. And I point this out because sometimes we reduce this third commandment to simply meaning don't use God's name as a cuss word, right? That's what we really think the third commandment is. Don't cuss and use God's name at the same time. Right? And by the way, I'm not saying that's okay to do that. We'll cover this a little bit later. But this commandment must go further than that. It must be deeper. You see, for most of the commandments, actually I'd say for every commandment, there are two different sides. There's a promotion side and a prohibition side. See, often the commandments show us very clearly the prohibition side. They warn us or prohibit certain behaviors. But underneath those prohibitions are always something important that we should value. There's always a promotion. There's always something that we should see as weighty and significant, that we should see as something of worth. Let me give you a couple examples. Don't commit adultery. That's prohibition, right? Don't commit adultery. But why? Why? Because we should promote, we should value, we should see the importance and significance in the covenant of marriage. Don't murder. Why? We should value, we should see the weightiness of human life because people are created in the image of God. Don't covet your neighbor's stuff. Why? Because we should value commitment and joy and peace in what the Lord has given to us. You see, there's always prohibition, but there's also promotion. And so back to commandment number three, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Why? Well, here's what Jesus says. This is the promotion side. This is the Sermon on the Mount. He's teaching us to pray. He says, when you pray, pray like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. That word hallowed, it means set apart as holy, to set apart as significant or sacred. It's the opposite of vain. Vain says, it doesn't matter that much. It's not that big of a deal. It's common and insignificant and light in worth. Hallowed says, it's special and significant and unique and weighty in worth. That's the value underneath this command. God's name is to be hallowed. So, how do we break this command? How do we misuse the name of the Lord? How do we, sometimes unintentionally, take the name of the Lord thy God in vain? I want to give us four things to consider today, four things to be careful about. Here we go. One, we should be careful about promises in the name of the Lord. See, all of us in here, at certain moments, really want people to believe us. Right? You ever had this experience? Like, you say something and you really want people to believe you. Maybe it's because you're saying something really, really important. They're on sale. Half price. I promise. Just go on the website, right? Or maybe it's important because you're denying something. I never even used the milk, let alone left it on the counter. It was not me. Right? Or maybe you're making a commitment of some kind. Dude, just spot me five. I will pay you back. I have got to have this meal deal at Taco Bell and I have no cash on me. Like, left the wallet at home, right? I promise. I mean, I will be there on time this time. Or maybe we're just telling a really good story. Pastor Luke, you'll relate to this, right? And then all of a sudden, there he was. Damian Lillard in my living room. No, I promise, seriously, right? Or then he reeled it in, and no lie, 4 feet long. Some of you, that's your story, right? We're not sure we believe it. So we make these statements, and we really want people to believe them and to believe us. We want them to take what we're saying seriously. And so what do? We attach something serious to our statement, something weighty, something of worth, something like God. We say, I swear to God, it's true. It's okay in this moment, I think God, he knows, right? I swear on the Bible, it was the biggest fish you've ever seen. I swear on a stack of Bibles, not just one Bible, like a whole stack of them. You've heard people say that. Here's one. As God, as my witness, right? What are you doing? You're trying to say, like, here's a really weighty thing to give my statement credibility and believability. Here's the little kid version. cross my heart, and hope to. Here's another one. I promise, but I don't just promise, I pinky promise. Like, if it's not true, you can cut my pinky off. I don't know what that means. It's like the little kid version. But listen to what Jesus says again, because this series is the Jesus and the Ten Commandments. Listen to Jesus. This is, again, the Sermon on the Mount. You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but fulfill to the Lord the vows you have made. But I tell you, do not swear an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. All you need to say is simply yes or no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. See, in Jesus' day, because the Jews were so concerned about commandment number three, about using the name of God inappropriately, they would not even say God's name at all. They wouldn't utter it even in inappropriate ways, right? They would not use the name of God for anything. So instead, here's what they would do. They would swear on something else. They would swear on heaven, because heaven was the throne of God, or on earth because it's the creation of God, or on Jerusalem because it's the city of God. But Jesus says here, listen, don't use God's name or even anything associated with God to bolster your reputation. That's not how you're supposed to use the name of the Lord. First of all, just be the kind of person that people believe without having to swear. Just be that kind of person who doesn't have to swear because you just tell the truth. But also, don't cheapen God's name by using it as a tool to boost your believability. That's minimizing God's name. That's devaluing God's name. That's taking the Lord's name in vain. Be careful about promises in the name of the Lord. Here's the second one. We should be careful about proclamations in the name of the Lord. This is Jeremiah chapter 14. This is Jeremiah speaking. He says, then the Lord said to me, the prophets are prophesying lies in my name. I have not sent them or appointed them or spoken to them. They are prophesying to you false visions, divinations, idolatries, and the delusions of their own minds. See, these are guys that are running around and proclaiming that what they are saying is from God. And they're saying stuff that sounds and looks to be really spiritual. It's convincing. The problem is, it's not from God. This happens in our day all the time. First of all, on a grand scale, like on a society-wide scale, prophetic election predictions by pastors. The Lord, God came to me in a vision, and the winner of the 2024 election is going to be. Are you ready for it? Because I'm going to tell you. I'm not going to tell you. End of the world prophecies. Jesus says no one knows the day or hour he will return, not even Jesus. So I'm pretty sure Sam Smith doesn't got it. Right? Remember the guy a few years ago who bought all the billboards all over the country and like was putting the date of the end of the world up? And then the date came and went, and he was like, oh, I got the math wrong. Like, I was like, oh, okay. I read a quote this week that said, we're trying to increase our credibility, and in so doing, we're decreasing his credibility. And friends, we can do this on an everyday street level too. How many of you have heard somebody say, the Lord told me? The Lord told me. The Lord told me that he just wants me to be happy. So that's why I'm leaving my wife and kids for this other woman. The Lord told me it would be good for us to live together before we're married so that the Lord told me, and ladies, watch out for this guy, that I'm supposed to marry you. Well, he didn't tell me. If that happens, be like, let's go talk to our pastor. Like, he'll have something to say. And friends, there's tension here. Because I do believe that the Holy Spirit can give us things to say to people, to speak to them, to speak into their lives and to speak over them. But we have to be very careful with this. I remember I was a young pastor, 35 years old, and a woman from our church came to see me. She was an older woman. She was a kind woman. She loved our church. She'd been part of our community for many, many years. We had a really nice conversation. And then at one point, she very sheepishly kind of shifted the conversation. And she said to me, "I know this might seem kind of weird, but I came here today because the Lord told me to tell you," there's the words, right? "To share the gospel at church this Sunday and give people a chance to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior." I said, "Oh, thank you. Thank you for sharing that. I will think and pray about that." And so that afternoon, I went on a run. It was my habit in those younger days of my life to, after work, every day I would go off and I would run after work just to kind of decompress before I went home to like the chaos of life at home with little kids. And that day on my run, I'm just listening to my worship music like I did often, and I just started praying, Lord, is that from you? Is that really from you? Do you want me to do that?" And I'm not saying that all of a sudden I rounded the corner and there was a burning bush and God spoke, "David, you shalt give an invitation to receive me as the Lord this Sunday to all thine people." No, it wasn't like that. But I had peace about it. And I believed that it lined up with the scriptures. And so I did it. I shared at the end of my message how Jesus died on the cross for our sins and rose from the grave, defeating death once and for all. And then I asked people the central question of the Christian faith. Do you believe in your heart that Jesus rose from the grave? And do you today declare with your mouth that he is Lord of your life? Do you want to receive Jesus as Lord of your life? And that morning, that Sunday morning, 30 people made a decision for Jesus Christ. 30. Thank you, Karen, for having courage to do what God asked you to do and for doing it graciously and humbly and thoughtfully and prayerfully. God can speak to us and we can have a word from the Lord. That's a biblical reality. And yet we must be very careful with those words. We must be careful and biblical and, dare I say, extremely prayerful before just lobbing it out. "The Lord told me." We should be careful about promises in the name of the Lord, proclamations in the name of the Lord. Here's the third one, pretense in the name of the Lord. And just so you know what pretense is, I mean, I don't want to insult you. I know you guys are smart people, but I had to look it up. So just to be sure, it's pretending or feigning something. Pretense is being false or fake or insincere. Listen to what Jesus says again in the Sermon on the Mount. "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name drive out demons? And in your name perform many miracles?'" These people are saying, like, "We went out and we said, 'The Lord said to me,' and the Bible says, and God declares, and we had some supernatural power going on. We did some amazing things in your name, Jesus." But it was all pretense. It was all insincere. One pastor I read this week said it this way. These people are standing up and they're saying, "Our whole life was in your name. Everything we did was in your name. All our ministry, everything we accomplished, it was all in your name." But it wasn't for his name. You see, it was for their name. And so what does Jesus say? He says, "Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers." As a preacher, that verse is haunting. You see, friends, pretense is when your words for the Lord don't match your motives in the Lord. And I'm not talking about Jesus followers, by the way, who aren't perfect, because that's all of us. All of us at times in this room will wrestle and struggle with mixed motives, with doing things for self. We will all wrestle with that. I'm talking about the guy who puts the fish on his website or calls everybody at church brother and then intentionally takes advantage of people, doing things in Jesus' name that are really just self-serving and doing it on purpose. Jesus says that fish doesn't save you. It indicts you because you're taking my name in vain. We should be careful about promises in the name of the Lord, proclamations in the name of the Lord, pretense in the name of the Lord, and finally, platitudes in the name
of the Lord.
Here's Leviticus chapter 19. Do not swear falsely by my name and so profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. Like, think about who I am. Think about who you're speaking of. Think about how glorious he is. That word profane is where we get the word in English, profanity. Yep. It means to defile the name of the Lord, to desecrate it or to pollute it. And this is where the cussing part of the sermon happens, right? Should Jesus' followers say GD or JC when they're angry, when they get a flat tire or lose their keys or hit their thumb on a hammer? Should we say those things? No. This is not a trick question. Like, I mean, that's the easiest question I've ever asked. And like a quarter of you answered. Some of you are just in rebellion. Like, I don't want to indict myself right now. Should we say those things? And some of you are like, I don't know what GD and JC stands for. Good for you. Good for you. Friends, I hope this one is so obvious that I don't need to spend a lot of time on it. And so I won't. Because this fourth point goes farther. The Hebrew word for profane does not just mean profanity. It does mean that, but it also means to make common. Don't make the name of the Lord common. That's what a platitude is. A platitude is something common. It's a trite remark. It's something that's dull or it's insignificant or unspecial. And friends, when we make the Lord a platitude, when we make him trite, we take his name in vain. We lighten it. We lighten the significance of who he is. Let me give you some examples. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I read a guy this week who said it this way. It's Tuesday, praise the Lord. We're going to do meatloaf tonight, praise the Lord. If I get hit by a car, well, at least it wasn't a truck, praise the Lord. And here's my point. Some of you are like offended. Some people just say praise the Lord to everything. Why? Because it's a habit? Because it makes you sound spiritual? Here's the question. Here's the heart of the question. Are you really praising the Lord, or is it just something to say? Is it just a platitude? Are you just making the Lord's name a common phrase like bruh or dude or rad or awesome or whatever the kids say these days? It changes every week. Are you really praising the Lord? Because praising the Lord, the God of heaven and earth, the creator of everything we can see, feel, touch, taste, and smell, that's a big deal to praise the Lord. Let's not cheapen it. And by the way, there's some tension here because I want you to talk about the Lord. Talk about the Lord. Say the name of Jesus. Just remember the weight of the name of the one you speak of. Here's another one. Lord of mercy. You trip walking down the sidewalk. Lord have mercy, I have no balance today, right? Your kid spills milk. Lord have mercy, there's milk everywhere. You know, gas prices go up. Lord have mercy. Friends, just because you don't own an electric vehicle, this is a nod to you Tesla people because I was hard on you last week. I'm coming back and supporting you, right? Just because you don't own an electric vehicle, you don't need to use the name of the Lord when gas prices go up 5 cents. Okay, here's another one, a little more current. OMG. OMG. Somebody be like, I don't know what OMG is. Again, good for you. And here's the deal, because I know some of you out there, here's what you're doing right now. You're like, well, I do type OMG when I text sometimes, but Pastor Dave, when I type OMG, what I'm saying is, oh my goodness. Sorry for the accent tone thing. I couldn't resist it. OMG for me is, oh my goodness, Pastor David. Note my eye roll, like the big eye roll for me. Yes, Jesus tells us as his followers that we are his friends. There's two sides to this whole message, right? We're not just his servants any longer. We're also his friends. There's a closeness and a comfort level and a familiarity that we can have with Jesus as his followers, as God's children and sons and daughters. Like we're his friends. What do you do with friends? You hang out and you shoot the business and you like let your guard down and you're authentic and honest and real and vulnerable. Jesus wants all that from you. All of it. But we still must be careful to, in the midst of that, honor the name of the Lord, to hallowed be thy name. Because that's the heart of this commandment. Like, it really just comes down to this. Do you hallow his name? Not just do you avoid cussing or errant comments. Here's the heart, to be people who so honor and exalt and admire and respect and adore our God that his name is revered by us. That there's awe in our minds and hearts when we speak of him. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That word fear is about awe and wonder and a really right understanding of how mighty and majestic he is, right? You see, friends, this is why church matters. This is why Sunday morning matters, because we are God's people gathered in Jesus' name. This is a in Jesus' name gathering, and a gathering where we say, Jesus, would you put your name on it? Would you put your name on us? Would you put your name into our hearts that we might be your ambassadors in this world? Not just our old people, not just the ambassadors group, Pastor John. I want them to do it too. But all of us are ambassadors of Christ, right? We all are people who, if we've received Jesus as Lord, bear his name. That's what this gathering is. That's why you should come. That's why you should make it a priority. That's why you should get here on time. And you laugh, and I'm only half shaming you. But you get to work on time, and your kid's baseball game 30 minutes early, and when, you know, whatever else, your nail appointment, but you're 15 minutes late to church. This is a gathering in Jesus' name. Step it up. I'm serious right now. We're not just playing around in here. We have a lot of fun. I'm a casual person. I'm a 7 on the Enneagram. I preach with my shirt untucked. I get it. Like, and yet, there is a weightiness to who we are and what we're doing in this place, church. I know you know that. I'm just reminding us today. I need the reminder. That's why the sermon matters. Not because I matter, but because we're talking about God's words and God's will and God's name in and on our lives. That's why I spend hours on this thing. I don't just get up here and just, here's a few thoughts. You're like, it seems like that sometimes. Well, I'm doing my best. Okay. See, this gathering is about the name of the Lord Jesus. It's about how he came to earth. How he gave up all the glory and comfort and perfection of heaven to come to this broken, sin-ravaged planet and put on corrupted human skin and endure hardship and suffering and persecution and then to take on death, the death that we deserved, that our sin created. And then he walked into that grave and said, death, you will no longer torment and terrorize my children. And on the third day, he rose, winning the victory for you and me for all time. That's why we like to pray to him and talk about him and preach about him and sing about him, because there is no God like him. You see, part of Sunday, part of why we gather is to just be reminded, just to remember, to remind each other and to remember together who we are and whose we are. We gather to remember again how mighty and majestic and great and grand and glorious our God is. Why? Because when we remember that he's weighty, we won't take his name lightly. When we remember that he's mighty, we'll treat his name reverently. When we gather to remember how sacred and significant our God is, we'll never speak his name with insignificance. The word glory is one of my favorite words in the scriptures. When you hear like the glory of God. We talk about the glory of God. And when you hear that word, maybe you're like me, your instant thought is like, he's shiny. Like, there's lights shooting off him. There's glory, right? But glory is really a word that means weight. It's about, he's so dense and weighty that the significance of him is hard to miss. It's like Mount Hood. When you're driving, there's certain points in this city where you round the corner and then there it is. Boom. And you're like, you just can't ignore it on a clear day. I mean, it's like, it's so massive on the landscape, it just takes your breath away. Our God is that glorious times a billion. And that's why we're here, to remember that. Because now all of a sudden, the problems and struggles and difficulties of this world pair in comparison to the glory of the God that we serve and that walks with us and whose name is engraved on our hearts. And so this morning, what else can we do but respond? What else can we do but respond with worship, with singing that says, God, you're glorious? We sing about his glory so that he'll have more weight, not just in this room, but in our lives when we leave this room. And so let's sing together, church. For ourselves and for each other, let's sing about the glory of our God, about the majesty of our King Jesus, who defeated death and rose from the grave. How about it? Let's sing about the glory of our God. Amen. Let's stand and sing.